This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you live from London, England. Welcome to our top stories as we move into the 2 o'clock hour back home, the 10 p.m. hour here in London. And Ursula just texted me something. What am I missing back home, Ursula?
So were you a ring? I was going to say ring my bell.
Tiffany Amherst.
Yeah, I could take it or leave it.
Oh, come on. Anyway, Tiffany Amber Thiessen's in the building.
From Saved by the Bell.
Yes.
She still is.
She's adorable.
Oh, she was on 90210.
Yeah. She's been on a lot of stuff.
She recently said she was supposed to be the Rachel in Friends, but she was too young at the time, so they picked Jennifer instead.
Yeah, I was going to ask how she looking, which is a horribly, I know, superficial.
Super superficial.
And borderline sexist question. But I also realized as I was about to ask it that I knew what Ursula's answer was going to be regardless of.
That's not true.
Yes, no, that's true. I know what your answer would be, but I know that in this case, you're being very, very honest.
I'm always honest. See, but I have a different definition of beauty, and I think people get more beautiful as they age, and I will tell you that Tiffany is no exception.
Ursula, I got mirrors.
It's different. Different beautiful as they age.
No, exactly. I got mirrors.
Exactly.
And we do not get more beautiful when we age. I'm telling you right now.
There are people that I think that most people, it's the eye of the beholder.
You've seen pictures of me as a younger guy. Do you think that I'm more beautiful now than I was 25 or 30 years ago?
Absolutely. Because you're more experienced.
Now that just made my point.
No.
That you're going to give the same answer regardless of the truth of it.
No. No. If you were a horrible person, I would not say that.
Ursula.
Because I wouldn't think that you're beautiful.
Well, but I'm talking about physical beauty.
I know.
Of course that when it comes to the intangibles,
I'm going to tell you right now. Okay, you want to? I'm going to just let you envision this. So because I was in the studio, I actually had an Uber Eats order delivered, and I was sure that the driver had left because I was staying in here in the studio for way too long, and I got all these texts. So anyway, I went sprinting out there, and I almost ran right into Tiffany. I mean, holy she was like moly. At the front door. She was just coming in. And I looked at her and I said, oh, I recognize you. And anyway.
You said that? Yes. I recognize you.
Well, you know what I hate? Here's the thing. Wasn't I going to pretend that I don't recognize her, that I didn't watch that show growing up? I mean, I grew up along with her.
I could have. If I'd been in Seattle today instead of here, I could have gotten her on the show. I know Nicole would have gotten her on. Why is she in the building? Whose show is she doing?
She's doing an interview with Rachel. That's why I said ring my bell.
Oh,
so Saved
I get
by
it.
The Bell.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we would have gotten her, and I could have asked her the question that I asked Goldie Hawn and Olivia Newton-John.
But she would have answered differently. She's too young for you. Sorry.
She's 44.
Too young.
Yeah. If I asked if we had met 31 years ago before I met my wife, that would have been maybe the creepiest question of all time. Okay, scratch that. I'm lucky I'm in London.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so she seems just as sweet as ever and gorgeous, and I think she has. She's here to talk about a particular cause, I believe.
Oh, lovely. Lovely inside and out. That's what I like about people. Okay. I'm sorry I missed it.
We missed the wedding today, too.
Wedding. Yeah. And Ursa, goodness.
Eugenie's wedding.
Oh, this whole royal thing. I'm telling you, if there's truly, because I know something the talk show hosts do is just the, I don't get this. What do you think? The royal thing is something I will never understand. The amount of just idolization and obsession, and I don't know why anybody cares about, you know, this family on such a deep emotional level.
It's like a fairy tale.
I think it's just a fairy tale thing. Back in the day, we used to want to be princesses, and these are women that became princesses.
There's so much history there, and then there's just Yeah, there's beautiful dresses. Oh. Eugenie's dress was smashing.
Oh, who cares?
Honestly, it's kind of fun. It's just a... It's a
What's fun
it's
about
a distraction
it?
From other stresses.
Thank you.
Yeah, so people... People who have perfect lives and live a life of unimaginable wealth because
proven,
what they're born into, that makes everybody else's life better.
No, so what I love...
They marry in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What I love is that they show that they are not so perfect.
You know, if I had Eugenie on the show, I would ask her if we had met 31 years ago before I met my wife.
Yeah, oh, no. And also, they are good examples. They do good things with their fame and fortune as opposed to some people in the States.
Oh, they have little time free for charitable endeavors. Well, I'm happy for Eugenie and whoever she married. Let's get right to, with all that as mere prelude, let's get right to this hour's Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
So earlier today, the Seahawks were out on the practice field, and I got a chance to talk to who's emerged as one of the best running backs in football, Chris Carson. Everybody said, Chris is really quiet. He's really quiet. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't expand on much when you ask. But it turns out we had some kind of fun moments. It turns out he and I shared a little malady here in London. So earlier today, I had this conversation with Seahawk running back who's had 200-yard games in the last 3 weeks, Chris Carson. I'm standing here with Chris Carson. Your teammates are badgering you as we try to start this interview. You guys look like you have a pretty tight group out there.
Yeah, we're all close. You know, we like to have a good time, you know, on and off the field. So just a light atmosphere when we get out here. So it makes everything fun.
Tell me about this whole experience of playing in London.
It's difficult for me just because the sleep part of it, but it's been fun. I mean, my first time being out the country, so I'm getting used to it. But I'm having fun, you know, just being out here away from Seattle.
To prepare for my next story here in the Big Lead, I just clipped off my audio. You know, that's always
that's
Nicole's worst fear.
It really is.
When I'm playing audio. Okay, I pulled it back up here. Hey, congratulations on your season. I mean, after what you had to come back from last year.
Having a good time enjoying the guys.
Really? Your first time out of the United States? This is the first one ever?
Yeah, it's my first time. I didn't think it would be in London, but I'm enjoying it, though, so...
I would have thought at Oklahoma State you guys would have made the trip across the border to the south once or two.
Hey, yeah, that would probably be the best thing, but I mean, I guess not.
Hey, congratulations on your season. I mean, after what you had to come back from last year. First of all, let me go back to last year. How tough is it for, because I know how dedicated and diehard and how football is your life. How tough was it when you were sidelined last year?
Oh, it was real tough, you know what I mean? But it made me realize how much I love the sport even more, you know what I mean? Being out on the sideline, you really start to appreciate the sport a lot more than you do when you're actually playing the game. And then it just made me want to work harder to get back. And, you know, the teammates, my family, friends, they all encouraged me, kept me motivated. So, you know, I wanted to get back out here as quick as possible.
And I know that that's not where you wanted to be. How do you maximize that when you're watching the game? And what do you learn when you're watching the game?
You just learn, you know, you can try to pick up on things. So you just try to pick up on things, you know, just like the schemes. You know, you can really go back to the beginning with the playbook. And, you know, trying to learn the defense, you know, just little things that you can do while you're not on the field, you know what I mean? And then also just trying to get your mind right because you know that the process of coming back is going to be even more difficult than trying to stay healthy. So my mind was just trying to stay as positive as I can and try to be as good teammate as I can while I'm not on the field.
So then you come back, not only come back, but you are just having a great season, 200-yard games in the last 3 weeks. Are you going for a 100-meter game on Sunday?
I'm just trying to do whatever I can to help the team win. So whatever I have to do, if I get 4 carries, I get 34 carries. You know, whatever I can do to help the team win. If it's 5 yards, it's 105 yards. So it don't matter to me. I'm just happy to be out here, happy to get this opportunity.
And so, I mean, this is a big game on Sunday. I mean, for you guys, just in where everything stands. So is travel at all an equalizer? Or is it an area where you can get an edge over your opponent if you handle it right?
Come on, Sean.
Why does everybody want to heckle you during interviews? What is it about you?
I don't know. Because they know that I don't talk a lot. You know what I mean? I just play ball. So whenever they see me talk, you know, it's a big deal to them. So.
When I was getting ready to talk to you, I'm trying to find out other stuff about your life. Yeah. I can't find anything, Chris. What's going on there?
Hey, I keep to myself. You know what I mean? I play ball, keep my same group of friends, family. And, you know what I'm saying? Just chill for the most part.
How about the bye week? What do you do? What do you do on the week coming up ahead?
Well, I got my dogs, so I'm just gonna hang out with my dogs, see my people back home for a little bit, and just hang out, rest up.
What kind of dogs you got?
Cane Corsos.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
Those are good doggies.
Yeah. They're big. They're masters. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? They're a lot to handle, but I love them.
That's awesome. Oh, I got one other question for you. Because I couldn't sleep last night. You sound like you were having trouble sleeping here. Is that right?
Man, yeah. It was difficult. I woke up at like 1:30. You know what I mean? I couldn't go back to sleep. So that's a big aspect that I'm trying to tackle right now.
Did you do what I did in the middle of the night? I watched the entire Eagles-Giants game, which started at 1:20 and ended about 5 a.m.
I did the exact same thing. I watched the whole game, watched the post game, watched some highlights on ESPN of the game. So I didn't miss anything about that game.
So coming from one of the best running backs in the league, you, Saquon Barkley, what he did, those were two of the greatest runs I've seen in a long, long. What's it like to watch? Because I know that's what you aspired. You want to be the best. You want to be the greatest. What's it like to watch a guy like that?
He's one of those guys that come along once in every blue moon. He's a great running back. I've been telling all the guys that he's a freak, you know what I mean? But I feel like we got guys that are better, you know what I'm saying? We always going to take guys that are better. But he's a great running back. You know, it's great to see what he's doing. You know what I mean? It's just going to make everybody else work harder because everybody's trying to get that top spot.
There you go. All right. Well, I know you guys are headed for a top spot yourself. That's what you're aspiring to here.
Exactly. Yep. That's the only goal you got to have.
All right. One of the best in the NFL, Chris Carson. Chris, thanks a lot.
I appreciate you having me.
Coming up next on The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Big Local.
So yesterday we talked about, it was our top story yesterday, what was going on back home, and that was the Washington State Supreme Court abolishing the death penalty in our state. And I told you yesterday, and I've told you many, many times about my misgivings when it comes to the death penalty, that there's a big part of my faith life that believes that man should not take life. And I had a lot of people, and I appreciate it, a lot of people texted me and emailed me and quoted passages that said why the death penalty is acceptable to them as people of faith, and that's cool. I'm just saying I have misgivings. I do still support the death penalty because of how much the families of victims often want it. And I do think that the story of Lisa Hamm, she is the sister of Jamie Bindle, and you know Jamie Bindle's story. She was a prison guard at the Monroe Reformatory. There was a guy who was already in prison for life without the possibility of parole for a murder he had already committed. And this guy murdered prison guard Jamie Bindle. And her sister, Lisa Hamm, said that for their family, what the Supreme Court did in our state, abolishing the death penalty,
in no way is better for my family because it means there is no punishment for the crimes that he committed and killing my sister. He will not be punished. It's a free kill. He's getting away with murder.
Now that is a fantastic point. If you have already been sentenced to life without the possibility of parole, and you kill somebody and your sentence remains life without the possibility of parole, you have gotten a free kill. That's what the Supreme Court of our state said yesterday.
Not happy about it. Feel that they say that it's going to be equal justice for everyone, but it's not. It's not equal justice for Jamie. Their argument is that they will be in life without parole, but obviously you know that Jamie was killed by someone who was already in for life without parole. So I'm not happy about their decision at all.
And I try as often as I can to not mention the names of murderers because I don't want to in any way give them the satisfaction of any notoriety. But this killer of Jamie Bindle literally got a murder for no punishment.
I feel like he got away with murder. He absolutely got away with murder because he was already in for life without parole. And so there is no punishment for him. He will get to go ahead and keep living his life in prison like he was before and maybe murder someone else.
Hey, Jay Inslee, Washington State Supreme Court. How do you justify that? How do you justify that somebody who's already in prison for killing somebody gets zero additional punishment for the murder of this prison guard at Monroe? Way to look out for your state employees. Way to look out for the prison staff. Up next in the Big Lead, a local story for you as we come from London. And that is, we talked about this at the beginning of the show. I want to make sure, in case you haven't heard it, this insanity that's going on in King County.
I feel like he got away with murder.
Oh, that's Lisa Ham still. Like I'm triggering audio from 5,000 miles away. But let me tell you what's going on, then I'll play the audio for you. So at the King County Jail, they have space that has not been used for a while. So they've decided to start jailing some of the drug vagrant criminals on our streets. No, you and I get to pay millions of dollars so we can take what was jail space and give them a home. Here's Cairo 7, our news partners, telling the story of the latest tax and crime insanity.
A corrections building will now be used to house the homeless. Cairo 7 first told you the county was considering this last month, and today it became official. Cairo 7's Joanna Small got an inside look at that facility today. Joanna?
And I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we are doing exactly the opposite of what we need to do. We have drug vagrants all around the region. The word is out that if you come to this area, they will not prosecute you. If you have heroin or meth, they will not arrest you. You can commit property crimes at a greater rate than any major city in the United States of America. And we should be spending millions on hiring more cops, enforcing drug laws, jailing offenders. But instead,
the portion of the jail that we are talking about is the West Wing. Where I'm standing, you can see a sign indicates it's been closed for quite some time. It's actually hasn't been operational since 2012. At one point, it was minimum security. So it's got the infrastructure to operate as a shelter. But the real question is, will people want to stay in it?
So we could use it as a jail. In fact, you know, the prosecutors tell us, well, the reason we're legalizing drugs in King County, heroin, meth in personal possession amounts, is we don't have enough jail space to jail all of these people. Where do you want us to put them? How about you put them in your new homeless shelter?
Tents line the street across from the King County Jail. And the people in them would probably tell you they'd rather be there than here. But winter is coming.
We do not want people being in danger out in the weather on the streets.
So
that's Dow Constant. We don't want them to be in danger out on the streets. But we've had people who have been murdered by homeless drug vagrants, who have been raped, who have been attempted raped. And all of these have come, not all of these, but many of these, most of the notoriety ones, notorious ones, man, I'm sleepy, have been people who have come here from out of state. So we've got to start enforcing laws. We're attracting the worst dregs of American society to the Puget Sound area.
County Executive Dow Constantine is inviting them into the jail, which he says, after some renovations, won't look like a jail.
I would reframe it this way, that we are taking a building that was once about incarceration, and we are converting it into shelter. It is an expression of our values as a community.
It's an expression of our values as a community. So our values are, let's bring as many criminals from around the country to the Puget Sound area. Let's not incarcerate them. Let's tell them, hey, if you come to the Puget Sound area, we'll let you shoot up on the streets. We will not prosecute you for having drugs. We will take the old jail and give you a nice warm place to sleep. That's an expression of our values. It's also an expression of how insane our local politicians are. And that is your Big Lead this hour. This hour of the Dory Monson Show is brought to you by Farrah.com.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Coming up next, we will check the news for you, and then our awesome audio of the week. And today's sign, the end is here, as the Dory Monson Show rolls on from London. Continue. Continuing from London, England, here on the Dory Monson Show, getting ready for Seahawks football on Sunday. Once again, we're going to be broadcasting the game live from Wembley Stadium. It is a 7 a.m. start for our pregame coverage on Sunday morning. I'll be joined by Paul Moyer, Ray Roberts, Jordan Babineau, and then the game kicks off at 10 a.m. Seattle time. So it'll be a 6 p.m. kickoff here in London. So that's what we got coming up, and that's why we are in London. And as I look at the old clock on the wall, it's a little bit after 10:30 here in London. But back there, it's time for today's favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
Okay, at number three in our Awesome Audio, and actually, it's Friday. These are our favorite sound bites of the entire week. We picked ones from earlier in the week that we really liked, including on the TV show Wheel of Fortune, which I gotta say is a show I just don't understand. It's like the most phenomenally successful syndicated show in history. It's just, I mean, it's unbelievable how people can sit there night after night watching that wheel spin around. And then a bunch of dopey people guessing on a puzzle. I don't understand the show. But, man, give Pat Sajak and Vanna White a lot of credit. They make a fortune on a wheel spinning around. Anyway, on a Wheel of Fortune, they had a few letters in this puzzle here. At number three, this person just had a little trouble figuring out what the missing letters were.
Number three.
I'd like to solve.
Okay.
Bridal and gold shower.
Sorry. Janet, your turn.
I'd like to solve.
Okay.
Bridal and cold shower.
Yeah, that's a...
Yeah, it's not a gold shower. I know that some people connect that with bridal parties, I guess, but no! It was a cold shower. At number two, we're over here to cover a football game. Earlier this week on Monday night, Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints broke Peyton Manning's all-time NFL record for passing yards in a career. And he was mic'd up, and it was really cool watching him, his wife, his little baby girl, and his three boys who are a little bit older. He went over and mic'd up. You heard him tell them how much he loved them. You know, hey, boys, how about that? And, I mean, what a moment that his boys are old enough to understand what's going on. It was really cool. And after the game, I loved when a reporter asked him what he told his boys. I love Drew Brees' response.
Number two.
Do you remember what you even said to them?
Well, it's probably what I tell them every night before they go to bed, which is, you know, you can accomplish anything in life you're willing to work for. So, just, you know, nothing's given, everything's earned, but, you know, God has equipped us for great works, and I tell them that every night.
Nothing is given, everything is earned. It's kind of like the motto of all of our politicians in the Puget... it's not. Sorry. All right, number one in our Awesome Audio. I played this earlier in the week. This is one of the most disturbing things I've heard in a long, long time. A family is out on Puget Sound on their boat. It's a mom, a dad, a son, a daughter, and they encounter one of the most glorious sights in all of nature. Some whales come up to their boat, but the dad was the only one who thought it was cool. Listen to the reaction of the other people on the boat. It's our favorite soundbite of the week.
Number one.
Don't start the motor. Do not start the motor.
Listen, right, the panic attack's right, already calm started.
Sure. Calm down.
Oh my God, it's going right under us, you guys. You guys.
He's all right. He's okay.
The kids are crying.
Relax. He's checking us out. He's checking us out.
The dad's cool.
We're not gonna hurt you. Just relax. He's right under us. Look at this, you guys. You'll never see this again.
Yeah, you're seeing whales in Puget Sound swimming right next to you.
It's okay. Relax. He's going to check us out and he's going to go away. You're very intelligent. Relax.
Yeah, it might
Relax.
Be the most intelligent creature
Relax.
In the vicinity.
Seriously.
Right now.
It's okay.
Get out of here.
Look at that. Look at that. He's rolling. Oh my God. This is amazing, you guys. There's another one right behind it.
Now listen to what the mom does.
Wait a minute, let's get out of here.
The son wants to get out of here.
Fine. It's fine.
The mom says I'm going to call 911.
I'm out in Puget Sound, and there's three gray whales right underneath our boat,
Dad,
and I'm
away.
Afraid that we might get flipped
drive
over.
Away.
I'm
drive
really
away.
Scared.
Drive away.
Where are we, Dad?
Right now, drive away, Dad.
Yeah, drive
She's
away.
Calling 911
drive away.
On whales. Means.
Drive away
there's
faster.
Three huge
drive away faster.
Gray whales right underneath our boat.
We can't get 911 to respond to the
hero. That was amazing.
We don't have a home. She wants them to come out on Puget Sound for whales.
They're following us. Oh, my God. It's following us. Oh, honey, don't be scared. This is awesome.
This is one of the most depressing bits of audio I've ever heard in my entire life.
Look at him. Look at him. Look at how big he is!
Call the police! Let's put in the King County Jail. Oh no, we've converted that to a homeless shelter. Maybe the whale's homeless. We should find out.
Oh my God, look at him.
This family has enjoyed one of the most remarkable... Well, no, they had the opportunity to possibly enjoy one of the most beautiful sights in all the world, but instead they cry and call 911. This is how whippy we've become as a region. This is like an example of what's happened to a region that used to be filled with fishermen and lumberjacks. Now we call 911 on a whale. So those are our favorite sound bites of the entire week. And we have lots more to come. Today's sign, The End Is Near, is coming up next as the Dory Monson Show rolls on from London, England. And down the stretch we come. It's been a great couple of days here in London, and I've been thrilled to have you guys along for what's a historic ride with the Seattle Seahawks, as on Sunday they will play their first ever overseas regular season game. Again, that's going to be against the Oakland Raiders. You'll hear it right here on your home of the Seattle Seahawks, 97.3 Cairo FM. The game kicks off at 10 a.m. Seattle time, and that means I'll be on the air with all of my pregame co-hosts, Paul Moyer, Jordan Babineau, Ray Roberts. They will join me at 7 a.m. Sunday for Seahawks football in London, Wembley Stadium, against the Oakland Raiders. And I got to tell you, I talked to Pete Carroll earlier this afternoon. Go check that out on the podcast if you didn't hear it. But I talked to him about memories of Wembley. And for me, I told him, it was when Evel Knievel went flying over those double-decker buses and had one of the most horrific crashes of his life. So as somebody who watched things at Wembley when I was a little kid, to be broadcasting from there on Sunday is going to be a real thrill. So we'll be on the air 7 o'clock Sunday morning. Get up, have breakfast with us here on your home of the Seahawks, Cairo Radio. And with all of that as mere prelude, it's time for today's edition of
Today's Sign That the End Is Near.
All right, let's start in South Carolina for our first Today's Sign story. That's where 19-year-old Ryan Langdale has been charged with attempted murder for shooting his 17-year-old cousin. Oh, I hate it when families fight like this. But the police got there, and the guy had a fairly good reason for shooting his cousin. Langdale told the responding officers that his cousin accidentally shot himself while cleaning a hunting rifle, but when the victim's health improved enough for a police interview, he told investigators that his cousin had shot him after warning him not to consume his potato chips. But they weren't just any potato chips. They were salt and vinegar, which, by the way, they have a lot of here in London. So I'm making this really relevant to where we're broadcasting from today. So anyway, Langdale locked up on the felony count. I predict a bright future for that young man. Today's signed story number two. Oh, I hate hearing about stuff like this, too. At an Applebee's in Boardman, Ohio, a brawl broke out this week. And that's because the man, there was a family, they were going to have one of those baby gender reveal parties. The manager asked that the group not use their confetti poppers inside the restaurant because they were afraid it would disturb the other customers. Then the family went and launched the confetti poppers in the parking lot. The manager came and said, please clean those up, because it's not up to my staff to clean up your confetti. And that's when a wild brawl of about 20 people broke out in the parking lot of that Applebee's. The baby, whose gender was revealed, I predict a bright future for that kid, too. Okay, and finally in today's sign, do we by any chance have any Fleetwood Mac, any Lindsey Buckingham music maybe? Oh, this is a good one. In fact, this is a perfect one. I just thought of this. I'll tell you why in just a minute. Fleetwood Mac's longtime lead guitarist and one of the creators of this song, Tusk. Oh, it's too soft. I got to hear a little more Tusk here. Oh, yeah, there we go. Lindsey Buckingham is suing his former bandmates, Mick Fleetwood, Stevie Nicks, Christine McVie, and John McVie, because they kicked him out of the band. And he said he would have made $12 million on their upcoming tour, but now the other four are just going to share this. I didn't realize this. Fleetwood Mac shares all of their profits, their royalties, their tour revenues equally among all of their members. I don't know how unique that is in music, that you're dead even split. But Lindsey Buckingham had been a big part. He was one of the writers. He was also a really prolific producer. Tusk was one of his biggest hits. So I hate it when bands can't get along like this. So Lindsey Buckingham is suing for breach of fiduciary duty and breach of oral contract. He says they're going to play a lot of my songs on this tour, and I'm not going to get anything for that. Bring it up, Fall. Let me listen to a little bit of Tusk as I wrap up this week in London here. That's a good song. This song's held up pretty well. Just tell me that you want me. Oh, I want you. You know that I want you. The other reason the song's so relevant, I just thought of this. You know who is playing the marching band part of this song? The USC marching band. You know where Pete Carroll coached before the Seahawks? USC. You know where I am? In London to watch Pete Carroll's Seahawks play the Raiders on Sunday. How's that for bizarrely and randomly pulling everything together at the end of the broadcast today? So that will do it for us today in London. Maybe do a little sightseeing tomorrow. I heard that Big Ben really wants to see me. So we'll get away, do a little of that. I'll send you some Twitter updates. I'll be better about sending stuff out on Twitter. I've just been too busy the last couple of days. We've got a few things up there, though. And then Sunday morning, live from London's Wembley Stadium for the Seahawks and the Oakland Raiders. Again, we'll be on 7 a.m. for the pregame, 10 o'clock kickoff here on 97.3 Cairo FM, your home of the Seattle Seahawks. Thanks again to producer Nicole Thompson, engineer Zach Davies with me here in London. We will see you Sunday morning for Seahawks football. Enjoy your weekend.
See you next time.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.